Hello and welcome to The Crumb, a podcast from Bake From Scratch magazine. We're here to talk baking in all forms, the people, the culture, and the baked goods that make us run to preheat our oven. Hello and welcome back to The Crumb. I'm Kyle Grace Mills, the managing editor at Bake From Scratch magazine.
And I'm Brian Hart Hoffman, the editor-in-chief of Bake From Scratch.
And we have a wonderful new episode, a wonderful baker we are talking to today. But before all that, Brian, what is your current baking just obsession, reason for life?
I know. I'm glad you said reason for life because I've always had a nostalgic memory of here in Birmingham, Alabama, where I grew up. You can step foot in the local shopping mall, the Galleria, and the smell of cinnamon rolls would just hit you in the face from this place called Cindy's Cinnamon Rolls. And I don't know if it was a chain or is a chain or was a chain. I need to research this. All I know is from that early, early age, the smell of a cinnamon roll baking can absolutely give me the reason for living, like you were talking about.
Yeah, and you feel like shopping, probably, too.
Oh, and shopping. But you've got to go to Cindy's and get the cinnamon roll. And we're not talking a cinnamon roll that has any dry texture at all. And so there's always been that mystery to me about, you know, how do we achieve that in, you know, scratch baking at home? Because you always assume, like, oh, a commercial bakery, they're probably doing blah, 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 blah. And then at home, we can't do that. So I went on a mission. You know, I've been teaching a series of classes every Monday night on Zoom with William Sonoma. It's called Baking School. And I'm having way too much fun doing this. I really, really love and look forward to Monday nights. And I just taught a class on brunch baking. You know, it's almost spring, and even if it's not truly almost spring, in my mind, it's almost spring, and then that means outdoor entertaining can at least happen as we still recover from the pandemic. And so I'm going to be planning a bunch of brunches. That was a tongue twister, a bunch of brunches. So in this brunch baking class, I took on my mission to recreate the perfect cinnamon roll, and thankfully, I'm stocked with Red Star yeast at home because I knew I needed to have plenty of it on hand for the amount of cinnamon roll baking that was going to take place. And I researched a lot of things, and I promise I'm getting to the point of this. I'm like building this up. I made the dough, I made the filling, I did the, you know, all the rolling and cutting and, you know, slicing and putting in the 13x9 pan because I do like my cinnamon rolls to touch. Because then again, you get that softer edge on every single one of them. And I know there's a whole, you know, team of people that say, I don't want it to be that way, but mine have to be because we're still channeling the Cindy cinnamon rolls. Then I took a half cup of heavy cream that I've heated to like a lukewarm. It doesn't need to be very hot, but it doesn't need to be cold after we've done the second rise with the cinnamon rolls. You pour it over the proofed rolls and into the pan. So you drizzle over, around. Basically, you're giving this little bath of heavy cream to the cinnamon rolls. And then when they go into the oven, they bake like a dream. And I did it. I got the gooey cinnamon rolls of the nostalgic memory in my mind. And I'm hooked. This is my new cinnamon roll method. I'm not changing it. Everyone at home, I'm going to put this on our website. We are like, this is going to be a thing. So you will soon find Brian's perfect cinnamon roll recipe on bakefromscratch.com. And I can't wait to hear what everyone thinks. And then a delicious, like, slathering in cream cheese. Like,
oh yeah, you don't, you know, stop with the heavy
icing.
Cream.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, your cinnamon roll icing that I put decadent amounts of vanilla bean paste. So you get the flecks of vanilla bean. Yeah, next level. I'm glad you started that with what was my reason for living, because obviously I'm very excited about this cinnamon roll situation. What about you? What have you been baking? You actually did something a little crazy.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to hack Airbnb baking. So I am going to...
For a kitchen you have no idea.
Yes, I've got an Airbnb cabin secluded, nice and socially distanced. It's just a good place to kind of escape to without traveling far. It's just a drive away. And I know it has a kitchen with an oven, and that's about it. So I've made a big batch of cookie dough, and I'm going to make a cookie cake, bake it out in the spring. I'm going to bring my own spring form pan.
Yep, yep.
I am bringing my oven thermometer.
Obviously.
I am bringing, you know, my temperature gauge. I'm bringing everything meased out, done, ready to go. And it still could be a disaster, but I am going to bake in an Airbnb cabin.
I've done this before.
Yeah.
Up to and including, I rented an Airbnb in Los Angeles and needed to prepare food for an event that I was doing, a brunch, and a photo shoot. So when we did our very first photo shoot with Rebecca Firth, the displaced housewife, she drove to this Airbnb where we shot an entire magazine story using the equipment that was in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
There were a few trips to the local, you know, Target or something to grab a few like absolute kitchen tool necessities, but you're doing a road trip. So yeah. You pack that stuff in.
I'm packing that stuff in. I'm not bringing the stand mixer because, you know, my boyfriend who was going with me would have to carry it. And apparently that's a deal breaker. And so I just made the dough ahead of time because, you know, I'm not, you know, settling for a little hand mixer. Although I could do a one bowl. I do love one bowl.
Yeah.
But it's funny
you're doing that because when I travel too, we rent, you know, apartments or Airbnbs or things like that as well a lot. And I always want to make something, you know, I want to bake something.
You're right.
Even if I'm going to be eating out or, you know, touring a destination, there's still that moment that I'm like, I just want to make this.
No, I think everybody, the fun thing about doing some of these Airbnbs is you're feeling like you're staying in a home. You're not in a hotel.
Yeah.
And when you have access to that kitchen, you want to cook, you want to bake. If that's your passion, like it is for us, you know, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to bake in a beautiful cabin with a really cool stove and, you know, oven, old gas oven. So I'm really excited.
I can't wait to hear how it turns out. So speaking of traveling, today's guest on The Crumb is someone that has become a really good friend of mine via the, you know, our connection and conversations on Instagram and some work things that we've had the pleasure of doing together in the last couple months. But Brittany Brown Chamberlain is joining us today, and she has an amazing blog called Brittany Breaks Bread. And we're going to ask about this name. I have to know. But she is joining us today, and I am so excited for this conversation. She is featured in our January-February issue of Bake From Scratch. She attended our Baking Is Our Business conference that we did for content creators in the baking community. She did a Williams-Sonoma event with me at the holiday time. So this is just one more conversation with her that I'm so excited to have. But the connection about travel and food is really something that we all share in common. So I'm glad we were able to kick things off with your challenge that's happening in the Airbnb that we're all going to stay tuned for. But now it's time for us to have a conversation with Brittany. So I'm so excited to welcome her to The Crumb.
Hello, Brittany, and welcome to The Crumb.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are so excited about having you today, but you and I have had, we were just chatting earlier, and I have to tell everyone, Brittany has just recently gone on the search for a new home, and she shared it with her audience, and I actively participated as if I was with her and told her all the things that I was thinking along her search. And so good news, everyone, they've chosen a beautiful home that we will all be able to see in August. So if you're listening and you are a part of that journey, there's a new home to be seen.
For sure. And I'm going to be taking everyone along with me through the design process and, you know, the little customizations that we're getting. And it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to share.
See, I love that interactive journey. And I think people, you know, obviously they do. She was telling us that so many people were more engaged with the property search than maybe some of her recipes. It's like, hello, everyone. Please get back to the recipe content.
No, I think that you hit a certain age. I'm about to turn 27. And I swear at some point I just turned and I was like, I'm obsessed with building homes. I'm obsessed with the dream kitchen. So I get into this renovation thing so I can completely identify with, yes, I do love your bread, but okay, show me those countertops again. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's good.
It's so awesome that you're into it at 27 because I just had my 30th birthday last year. And I, for some reason, I didn't even contemplate the idea of buying a house until I started my blog. And I'm cooking in my kitchen and I'm trying to make all these recipes. And I'm like, we need a house. We're clearly outgrowing the apartment. And I feel like if it wasn't for my blog, I probably would be very content with just continuing to rent.
I love that. But that is like a true statement about A, the success of your blog, the demand for your content. And I just know the night that I was watching your stories and you showed everyone your photo set up in the, I guess in the middle of your apartment, I just thought you are doing something very unique in showing a lot of that behind the scenes part of what we do as content creators. And I think it endears an audience to you. And so I love that we were all on this journey and we'll stay on this journey with you until, I use air quotes, we all move in to the house. I mean, I feel like we're all going to be moving in with you.
I don't know, Brittany, he may be there when you move in.
Yeah, right.
I'll pop in. Like, we've got to bake together. So like, there's going to have to be a video of us baking in the new kitchen.
Without a doubt. I'm literally counting down the days.
Well, yeah, you and me both. And there's another thing you and I are counting down the days for, and that's travel. So obviously we've been in the global pandemic for what feels like 204 years now. And Brittany and I, another thing that we've learned through social media and Throwback Thursday and like, you know, look back at previous trips is, Brittany and I have traveled to so many of the same places, and we jokingly have said, like, maybe we were there together in a class and just didn't know each other then, and now we do. But Brittany has visited over 33 countries, and she's had the opportunity, obviously, to try quite a bit of the world's baking. Brittany, what are some of the recipes and traditions you've discovered along the way that influence your blog and the content we see?
Honestly, it's everything, both domestic and international. Like, I can actively think back to when I was in Germany and I had just the simplest sandwich. It was just a piece of fish with lemon and tartar sauce on this really beautiful, dense bread. And to this day, it's like one of my favorite meals. And I just take so many of those types of experience from each country that I've been to and kind of just implement it into the things that I want to see on my blog and the things, especially now that we are unable to travel or shouldn't be traveling. Sometimes I have my days where I'm like, golly, I really wish that I was like on a beach right now. Maybe I should make like some sort of tropical cake or like make a pineapple upside down cake because that reminds me of like a pina colada and sipping pina coladas on the beach in St. Martin or something like that. And so it's like kind of like a culmination of all those experiences that really help to shape the recipes that I make on my blog. And especially like flavor profiles and textures and ingredients that I use. My travels definitely heavily inspire all of that.
And it's no secret that is, you know, I'm listening to you speak and I'm like, this is my voice coming out of her right now. You know, I used to be a flight attendant and I fell in love with baking because of the travel. It wasn't that I, you know, kept, you know, it wasn't that baking was such a huge part of my life before that, but then you have that sandwich that you will never forget. And for me, that's the, like a fish sandwich in Bermuda where they use a raisin bread, not a cinnamon raisin bread, just a raisin bread for this fish sandwich. And it jumps out in your mind and you say, I have to recreate this for friends and family or just for yourself because you're craving it. But nowhere else in the world have I ever had that flavor combination. And it immediately takes me back to Bermuda at first bite. And so it inspires that next iteration of a recipe. And hearing you say that, I'm like, yep, I've been there, that one sandwich that you won't forget.
That actually sounds amazing. Like a raisin bread with a savory, like with fish.
Yes, it's like a fried fish with some slaw, some cheese on the fish sandwich. I mean, it's all the things that you could dream of. And it comes together in this beautiful, like, seaside sandwich shop where you're just like, okay. I want to go back there, but if I make it at home, it at least attempts to transport me.
Yeah, and memory is tied to those senses of, you know, the olfactory, the taste. I mean, when you get to bake that, you get to have a little piece. Like, you travel back in your mind, even though you're there. I mean, it's not just like, oh, this reminds me. It's like, there's a part of your brain that unlocks by tasting a bite of that bread and that mm-hmm. sandwich.
Yeah, like, I feel like you're immediately transported back to that place. Like, you take a bite, and you're chewing, you're like, oh my gosh, I automatically feel the sun rays on my skin. Like, it's really all-encompassing.
And then you're on an airline website looking for tickets to Bermuda before you know it.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I know, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I wanted to visit one of my friends in California so badly, and I found a flight from Dulles to LAX for $57, and everything in me was just like, go, 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 and then I'm like, you know what, no, you want to be safe, you want to be healthy, stay your behind at home. You'll be fine.
But gosh, when we have that travel bug, a $57 ticket to California just sounds too perfect.
Tell me about it.
All right. Before we get too sad about the travel embargo, let's talk a little bit about your blog, Brittany Breaks Bread. It really runs the gamut of flexible recipes. You know, you have vegetarian, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, but you have plenty that are just, you know, regular, full recipes, full cow, as I'd say, you know, or full cow if you have the dairy and butter in it. But, you know, what kind of drove you to have such a, you know, inspired to reach out to different palates? You know, you really consider anybody's taste and, you know, dietary restrictions, but just choices that they make, and you kind of cater to that. What made you decide to do it?
So I think that this is not something that I've ever really spoken to, like, on my blog or, you know, on socials yet, but I have had my own struggles with food and have been very picky for the majority of my life. And I've done tons of diets where I've restricted this ingredient or this whole food group, and I realized that with time, I'm not the only one who, you know, wants to try something else to get healthy. So I try to have as many well-rounded recipes on my blog so that it can be a place for everyone to come to and not have to make too many recipe modifications. Like, if they want something that's dairy-free, you know, there's something for you there. If you want something that's vegan, there's something for you there. And I think that throughout my life, I've tried veganism. I've tried Whole30. I've tried keto. I've done gluten-free. And I've kind of gotten to a place where I just do a little bit of everything. And each diet has taught me something about cooking and building flavor and kind of doing it in a way that's both easy and relatable, in the sense that if I am on this diet, I can quickly refer to this recipe because it's easy to make, it's good, and it falls within the requirements of that specific cuisine or diet, whatever. So that was kind of like the catalyst behind me kind of wanting to keep a pretty diverse recipe profile on my blog. I just want everybody to feel included in that. A lot of people have said that I need to niche down to, like, you know, only do baking or only do quick weeknight meals. But, you know, I kind of don't want to do that. And I feel like with me personally, I'm not always eating the same thing. I will say, if anything, a lot of my weeknight recipes are gluten-free. But that's simply because I, you know, prefer certain flavors and certain dishes over others. But I just think it's so important when you're making something as personal as food that it's something that everyone can enjoy no matter what their background is, no matter what their dietary restrictions are, because everybody deserves to eat, and everybody deserves to eat something that's good. So that's kind of like, you know, my reasoning behind keeping as diverse a recipe list on my blog.
And I love the inclusiveness. I love what you just said about, you know, you come here and you can find something that fits the way you're eating, and how we all truly change our mind and our desires and diets and whim of, you know, different flavors or ways that we're planning for meals. And I love that you feature all of that. I think it would take away your voice if you did what other people are saying, and that's just do baking or just do one thing. I love the voice and the authenticity you're bringing to your content. I mean, after all, it's called Brittany Breaks Bread. And I also love the inclusive thought that comes to mind when I hear the words breaking bread. You know, that is something that's used about, you know, a term to bring people to the table and to all be represented is breaking bread with one another. So tell me about the name of the blog and how you chose, you know, Brittany Breaks Bread. And I do love the alliteration there too, by the way, but tell me why you chose the name. And, you know, then we'll talk about some of the must have recipes that people can find there as well.
Yeah. So it's actually, it's kind of a bit of a long story, but I'll try to keep it as succinct as possible. Because it stems back to my grandfather, who's no longer with us. And, after he passed away, I think I was 13 when he passed, and I would see BBB everywhere. And like, we were cleaning out his house, and I'm like, what is BBB? Like, he wrote his initials on everything, but his initials were technically RB, but we call his name's Robert, and everybody called him Bob, so, you know, BB. But I'm like, where's the third B coming from? And so one day I just asked my dad, and everybody called him Big Bob Brown. And so it was interesting because I never got a chance to kind of say goodbye to him. So I always felt like a piece of me wanted to honor him and kind of continue that name, because my father and him both have a ice cream distribution business in Philadelphia. And so I was randomly just sitting on the couch one day, and when I had made the decision to make my blog, it was just completely on a whim. I was like, what would I call this thing? And then automatically, like, BBB popped in my head, and I'm like, well, what in the world could I call this that's like, you know, that keeps that same flow going? What is BBB? And then, like, it kind of just randomly popped in my head, and I just said, Brittany Breaks Bread. So, no, that's pretty cool. And it's so ironic because I never say, like, we're going to break bread, or, like, you know, let's break bread together. Like, that's just, like, not something that I say. So it was really out of the blue, like, completely on a whim, 1,000% random. Like, it just came out, and I typed it in. The username was available. And so that's kind of what we went with. And I haven't looked back since.
I love it. No, I always want to know, like, the origin story, because it's so intriguing and now even more endearing to hear about that BBB being a driver for where you took it. So, you know, you say 1,000% random, but I say the happenstance of that and the nostalgia. That's a different kind of breaking bread.
That's, you know, that's serendipity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Serendipity is a great word to use to describe that, for sure.
So now tell us about the most popular recipes that we can find at on your website. And what about the baking recipes specifically? I know our audience is like, okay, I'm going to go to Brittany Breaks Bread. And if you say anything and also mention the chocolate chip cookie, I'm expecting you to say that. But you can tell the other things. I'm telling about what I'm obsessed with.
You took the words right out of my mouth. As of late, the chocolate chip cookies and the blueberry muffins have been the most popular baking recipes on my blog. And I'm always shocked, because when I make these recipes, I'm like, oh, this is a fun one. I hope people really like it because I love it. And then when it's received well, you're like, oh, like, I'm so glad people are trying this because it's so good. And so, yeah, as of late, it's been the chocolate chip cookies, the blueberry muffins, and still, believe it or not, I came out with a vegan bourbon apple skillet cake last year with like a chai drizzle. And that recipe is still getting so many hits. It blows my mind. So those are kind of like the three top baking recipes that everybody's kind of making right now. And it is just, it's so cool to see folks just making them and like, oh, I love it. It's so good. I'm like, yes.
I'm really intrigued by the vegan bourbon apple cake. I'm sorry. The first thing that popped into my head is I never see vegan recipes with alcohol in it. And that's what's missing. I would love to have a apple vegan bourbon cake. That's like exactly right. But Brian, I know you want to gush about those cookies.
The cookies and... I'm in a major muffin obsession phase right now. I think in the baking world, it's funny how cyclical things are, or how, you know, there are days that I'm like, I'm going to make the most complex thing I can find and I'm going to tackle this weekend baking like mission. But then lately, I have been absolutely obsessed with muffins. Like, and I want to bake muffins every weekend. And so it's no surprise to hear you say that the chocolate chip cookie and the blueberry muffin, which are two of my favorite things, are sitting at the top of the list.
Can I tell you something? It's so weird because for the longest time, I could not bake muffins. And like my muffins, they always had like a little too much baking soda. And then when I was recipe testing, or like they just didn't rise how I wanted them to. And I finally got the sweet spot to like, you know, my where my ingredients are coming in. And when I tell you it's the only thing that I want to make now, I truly mean that. Like I, for the longest time, would try to perfect muffins. And it's such a simple thing to make. But I feel like you really have to pay attention to your ingredients when you're making muffins. But now that I've got it down pat, I'm like, what kind of muffins do you want this weekend? Oh, we're going to mix it up this weekend. Let's try it.
Bring it on. Bring on muffin mania. You and I, that's another bond we're going to share now, is we're going to have conversations about muffins all the time.
And they're so fun. And like, I typically don't like to make things that are like little, and when I say little, like I mean like cupcakes are not particularly like my favorite thing to make because it's just a lot of work, like piping and all that stuff. But now that I've kind of perfected the muffin, I'm like, well, what else can we do? Maybe I should start getting more into cupcakes now. Like, it opened up a whole new world.
Well, I'll share one little known fact with you that makes, again, another bond with us, Brittany. I feel like our names are B and B, so this is all working out perfectly. We have only ever published one cupcake recipe in the 5.5 years at Bake from Scratch.
Oh my goodness.
We like mini cakes, but not, we don't even really regram cupcakes.
It's not, yeah, it's just not a part of our like content strategy. And so we now have another thing.
Can I just tell you how happy that makes me? Like, I'm not the only one because there's so much work that goes into making mini stuff. Like, I love to bake cakes, I love to bake pies, bread, all that stuff. When it comes like the miniature versions of these things, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a headache.
Right.
I'd rather frost the entire cake and just get some slices.
Cut it. Yeah, it's for sure. I'm literally right there with you on that one.
So I also want to talk a little bit about your cookbook. You just released your first e-cookbook last year, Brittany Breaks Bread Holiday Cookbook. And I know we're past the holiday hustle, but I kind of want to know if there's some recipes in there, because I know your cookbook's got some evergreen gems in there, and which ones you kind of recommend if bakers want to give your ebook a look.
Oh, man. So there is a recipe in there that I wish I could afford to eat every single day of my life without turning into a, like, 18-wheeler truck. But it's called the Mississippi Dirt Pie. It's actually my mom's recipe. And it's not even truly a pie. It's more like a trifle, but she's always called it a pie. And so I went with it because you don't go against mom.
No, amen.
but it's basically crushed Oreos. You remove the filling of the Oreo and you crush them up and you toss the filling. I know that's like blasphemous, but
toss it in your mouth.
Oreo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm like, I eat the filling.
Yes. And then you mix like Cool Whip and butter and cream cheese. And I mean, it's all of the healthy things that you can think of in life. And you kind of just layer the crushed Oreos with the cream and the crushed Oreos with the cream. I added my own twist and I topped it with a little bit of meringue just for, you know, added health benefits. And gave it a really cool char for, kind of just to be a bit more dramatic and make it look really cool. But when I tell you it is like one of the best things that you will ever eat in life, truly, like I'm pretty sure that's how I snagged my husband by making this dish. It is the best thing ever. And there's also a rolls recipe, honey sage butter rolls, that's in that book that I could probably also eat every day of my life. That is just so good. And it's really easy to make. The rolls are just so soft and pillowy, and they've got like a really nice herby flavor, but it's still kind of slightly sweet. I mean, those two recipes are the two baking ones that stick out to me the most, because it's just so decadent, but just such an enjoyable dish that you just don't forget them, you know?
And I downloaded the book the day you released it. And, you know, talking about...
Oh, my gosh, you were one of the first people to buy.
I could not... When I took... I think you posted, like, a sample preview or something, because I saw a peppermint bark layer cake that you did, obviously, that's very holiday theme. And I had to have the recipe. And then I saw the ebook, and I had to have all of the recipes. And I love the photography. I love the collection of recipes that you assembled. And you even joined us for a Williams-Sonoma peppermint bark baking event. Because the cake that I saw, I was like, Brittany's got to have this in the competition. This cake is so good. Yep. For everyone listening. When peppermint bark season rolls back around, you need her e-cookbook so that you have the recipe so that you can make it.
Oh, thank you so much. That was such a fun event. It was the first time that I've ever baked live. Actually the second time, in a big event space like that, it was like my first time ever. And I was so excited, so nervous, but it was so much fun. And I felt so honored to be in the midst of such great company. So I can't thank you enough for having me on that day. It was an awesome time.
Oh, it was awesome. And I think the entire time I was like looking at it was on Zoom. So I was like, when her screen would get smaller, I was like, hold on, I need to watch her assemble this cake so that I know what I'm doing. Just like looking at the square. This cake is delicious. Everyone. And then Brittany did like a crown on the top almost with the peppermint bark. And so just that dramatic, those jagged edges with the peppermint in it. And I mean, it's just a perfect centerpiece. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be holiday time. If you have any peppermint bark, make this cake.
I mean, thin mint season's about to come. You can do something with that.
Yeah. You know what? It tastes just like a thin mint. Like, seriously, it's like a Christmas thin mint. It's such a good cake. And it's easy to make, too, like relatively easy, I think. It's a cake. You just dump all the ingredients together, bake it, and ice it. And boom, you've got a cake there for you that's really delicious. So I could definitely see myself making that cake sometime soon. That's for sure.
Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, you are a cancer researcher by day. I mean, that's your full-time job, and you find time on any other time you have to work on your blog and recipes. You know, can you offer some advice to our busy bakers on how to balance your baking projects? You know, how do you tackle these fun recipes that you want to accomplish and put on your website, even though you've got a day job that you've got to commit a lot of time to?
You know, it's so funny you ask me this question, because it's probably the most received question that I get on like an almost daily basis. So it's like, oh my gosh, how do you release new recipes every week and still work? And, you know, honestly, it's feel like there's really no real secret to it. I think that when I started my blog and it turned into something that was bigger than I ever thought that it would be, it turned into a passion for me. And I think that when you're passionate about something, you make the time for it, you know? I found myself up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning because I can't sleep because I want to make sure that I get this recipe out. And it's not so much that I find that to be invasive or I find it to be a burden. I'm excited to be up at that time. I'm excited to get in the kitchen and make a mess and just try something that's new and different to share with, you know, the folks who check out my blog. And so, I mean, to answer it plainly, I think that I just do it, you know. I feel like it's something that I love. It's not something that I feel like I have to force. So I feel like when you love something, you make the time for it. And that's kind of how I feel about my blog, you know.
And there's so many stories just like yours of entrepreneurs that, you know, that do something they love and then it becomes a business. But to them, it doesn't feel like a business because it's still that thing you love. And I can hear that in your voice. I mean, you know, at 4 and 5 in the morning, you to be up that early and love it, you really are pouring in the passion and the time because it's enjoyable. Otherwise, no one's choosing to get out of bed at 4 and 5 in the morning if you felt like it was a burden. You'd probably leave that behind pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure. Like when I was prepping for my wedding and wanted to like go to the gym at like 5 a.m., that never happened.
No, no, I am on team no gym at 5 a.m. I'll join you on that too.
It did not work out, but you know, I will get up at 5 a.m. to bake a cake or like, you know, to try out a new recipe. Like it's such an enjoyable thing. And I feel like even when I have like sponsored posts or like my emails out of control, I still don't feel like I'm working. It feels like I'm just having fun and we're making some cool recipes and creating awesome content and we're just doing it, you know?
I love it. We're just doing it.
Yeah. No, it's like a relationship. You make those sacrifices, you know, you have a relationship with baking and you make time for it and you nurture it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's my goal to do this full time one day. I don't know when. I'm hoping this year sometime, but you know, right now it doesn't feel like work. Does it get difficult? Of course it does. I mean, I have deadlines at work. I have, you know, things that are pressing and urgent that need to be done, you know, swiftly. And so I just try my best to fit the blog in where I can, when I can, and maximize that time that I do to, that maximize the time that I'm actually using to develop recipes or to write blog posts and engage and all that good stuff.
Well, I definitely feel that you will quickly find yourself with this as a full-time passion project. I'm not even going to say a job. I think you're going to find yourself in this. Just your content is so amazing. You know, I was a fan before I got to be your friend, and now I get to be your friend, and I consider that a pleasure. So I'm excited to see the journey and be popping into your messages, weighing in on what kitchen we're going to choose together. So.
I will need all of the recommendations. Like, I'm so excited. I'm probably going to just, like, do, because I'm so indecisive sometimes, especially when it comes to like hard finite decisions, I'm probably going to just do polls and let you guys like pick whatever the hardware should be or like the type of sink I should get.
I love it. Let's do it. I'm excited. I'll be in the polls for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right, to sign it all out, we are going to do a quick lightning round, okay? And this is where everybody who I ever have on disobeys me, but it's okay.
And I also encourage
disobedience. It's because I've got a disobedient person across from me. It's just, it's okay. Okay, so these are quick questions with quick answers. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay. The essential baking tool you can't live without.
My hands.
Ooh.
Aw, that's actually really sweet.
That. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yes.
Although if I knew that was a part of the equation, I would be like, oh, could I use a tool without my hands? I'm sorry. Now I'm just going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Now you broke your own
rule. I'm breaking my own rule with that one. Okay. Centered. All right. You can only bake one recipe for the rest of your life. What is it?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Amen. There she goes.
All right.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
No.
All right. And this is your hardest one. Once you can travel again, where are you headed to first?
Immediately, I'm going to Italy.
Oh.
Yeah. I've never been. And that is like at the very tippy top of my list. I want to go so badly.
I'm going to finish this with one more thing. We're alike and connected. I've never been. And it's at the top of my
really?
List.
Aww. Yeah. I've been to Rome and Mount Vesuvius.
I guess I could say on a technicality, I've been in, I have crossed the border from France into Italy. So technically I've stood on Italian soil, but it's a really small town. I accidentally went on Easter Monday. And in Europe, you know, it's a totally different story than in the U.S. Yeah. Yeah, it was, everything was closed down. It was, you know, I was there, I physically stood in Italy. But I am still going to claim, with Brittany, that is also at the top of my list.
Literally.
Maybe we're going together, Brittany. Let's go bake together in Italy when we can.
Like a baking retreat there? Like,
yeah.
Can we just do that when COVID is over, please?
Yeah.
I will help plan everything. Like, you just let me know when and I'm there.
Okay, everyone listening heard her say that. She's going to help me plan it. We actually are planning an upcoming Italian issue of Bake From Scratch, and we will have a baking retreat in Italy, and Brittany will be there with us.
I will be first in line, like, there with my luggage. I'll start packing now, if need be.
It's going to be great. So I'm glad Cal Grace asked that, because the end of the pandemic, you know, I keep saying it's almost here, and I'm that Pollyanna person that just, we're still flattening the two-week curve, and obviously we're not, but there will be an end, and we will travel, and we will bake together, and I am so glad that Brittany led us right to that, another connection that she and I share.
Yes, under the Tuscan sun.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies, too. That movie is where I fell in love with Italy. That movie is so good.
I love Diane Lane, just period, you know.
Anything
she's in.
Well, Brittany, this has been so fun. This could last another hour, which means we just need to invite you back again soon so that we can continue our baking conversations. But truly, truly an honor to have you on The Crumb. And Brittany is featured in our current issue of Bake From Scratch. It's our January-February issue, and we have an entire lineup of the most amazing bakers and makers in our community that we are so honored to feature, and Brittany is in that list. So check out the feature in Bake From Scratch to learn more about Brittany, but I love this conversation, and it could keep going. So Brittany, I can't wait to have you back, and thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. The pleasure's all mine. Thank you both for having me.
All right. We'll chat soon, and we'll plan that Italy trip together.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is it wrong that I'm Googling Italy and baking, and now, like, Brittany being, you heard it. She said she's going to help plan. So now I'm like, okay, we got to do this.
No, and I think that Italy's a place that, I obviously, it's got beautiful cuisine.
Yeah.
But the bread alone is worth traveling there for. I mean, it doesn't get the, because pasta's so delicious, it just kind of takes over, but which is also a dough, so don't knock it. I mean,
we'll have to do some pasta during a baking retreat. I think, you know, if you're making dough, bakers, like, we're all of the same mindset, even if the oven, I mean, we could bake a pasta situation.
Well, and I do think that if you really think about it, lasagna is very much like cake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
layers.
It's layers of dough with a frosting / sauce, you know, and they make these dessert lasagnas all the time. And I'm like, you know, if I can call it that, I can pretend that this lasagna is a cake.
I like where your head's at.
So.
Well, obviously we have travel on the brain. We're so ready for this pandemic to end. We have baking retreats planned already for this year, including London, Ireland, France, Minneapolis, and we're even going to plan a baking retreat for here in Birmingham, Alabama, so that we can welcome some of our friends from the baking world to come bake biscuits, cornbread, and other things. I mean, I'm definitely thinking hummingbird cake for sure. So we've got a lot of travel. We just need to get through the pandemic so that we get that green light.
Yeah, hold on, everybody. And when it does come around, you know, don't stop baking. If you've just discovered baking, even if it, you know, you return to it, stay with it, because the joy it gives you right now, it'll give you that joy later too.
Well, this has been such a great day on the Crumb. I'm planning travel. I'm obviously still baking. And I hope everyone at home is inspired as well. Please check out Brittany's blog at Brittany Breaks Bread, and her e-cookbook is amazing. So grab a copy of it, and you know, we're going to stay tuned as she moves into her new kitchen too. So I can't wait to have her back on for more conversations. But until next time, I wish everyone happy baking, and we will chat with you next time on The Crumb.
If you liked our podcast, please rate, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. To keep up with all of our baking endeavors, follow our editor-in-chief and co-host, Brian, on Instagram at Brian Hart Hoffman. You can follow Bake From Scratch on Instagram at The Bake Feed. For online recipes and fresh baking content, go to our website, bakefromscratch.com, and sign up for our newsletter, Preheat. Finally, for in-real-life baking inspiration, grab our magazine on newsstands or subscribe through our website.